We're going to jump back into Leviticus chapter 18 at verse number 6 today. Let me remind you, this is a PG-13 area of Scripture. And so if you've got younger children that you're not ready to have any serious conversations with, you need to turn the program off and listen to it online at your own time later, or distract them in another room with something appropriate for their age. So Leviticus is all about the rule book for Levites. It's some of the things that they need to do as Levites and priests to do proper ceremonies. But it also includes rules that they're supposed to use to guide the people of Israel into their everyday decisions and actions. So chapter number 17, we spent that whole chapter talking about blood, arterial blood, how it was intended to give life, and it is intended to be used ceremonially about atonement, and therefore arterial blood is not to be eaten or used for any other purposes other than giving life and making atonement. And since Jesus has already made atonement for us once for all time, we don't need it for that anymore. There is no need for animal sacrifices. And as far as giving life, I think it is fantastic that the Red Cross at one time used the book of Leviticus, blood is life, or life is in the blood, as one of their themes, because giving blood, donating blood to be used in life-saving procedures is an admirable thing. I know that there are some religious groups that object to that because they claim that it is a violation of Leviticus 17, that you're actually ingesting the blood when you take blood in a transfusion. And my response is, no, you're not. You are not eating the blood. In fact, the other person is giving you life as a gift. And it should be appreciated and used appropriately. All right, so I think I've given enough time for anyone to get their younger ones out of the way. Before we start again at Leviticus 18:6 with this general instruction, none of you shall approach any blood relative of his to uncover nakedness. I am he who is. So this is talking about having sexual relations. That's what we mean by uncovering nakedness. With anyone that is considered to be a close relative. Now, we should make an assumption here, since we're reading in the book of Leviticus, that marriage is supposed to take place as well for the majority of these things. So this is actually a prohibition to get married to a close relative. The reason why things have changed on some of these since the book of Genesis is that over that period of time, the genome, the human genome, would have deteriorated even more. And this is what causes the problem with near marriage. When you take two genomes that are very close to one another in their structure, then what you're doing is you're reduplicating the exact same errors in the code, and you're passing that on. And this is where we have a lot of physical ailments that come into our families because of this. So while Abraham was perfectly safe in being married to his half-sister Sarah, by the time we get five or so centuries later, there is enough of a risk in that close marriage that it is now prohibited with the Israelis. And so that's what we are talking about as we go through at least part of this. Some of it is, as I kind of expressed last time, it's just kind of gross. And other things that we're going to come across in this section is unnatural and not part of God's design. All right, so verse 7, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is, the nakedness of your mother. She's your mother. You are not to uncover her nakedness. So no sexual relationships with mom. None. Or dad. It doesn't even matter if you wanted to get married. Wrong. Gross. Verse number 8. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness. So if mom passed away and dad remarried, and then dad passed away, you should not be marrying or having sexual relationships with your stepmom, or flip the gender, which is perfectly appropriate here, your stepdad. Verse number 9. The nakedness of your sister, either your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether born at home or born outside, their nakedness you shall not uncover. Now that's the verse that would have applied to Abraham's situation. He and Sarah shared the same dad, but different moms. So under this rule, they would not have been allowed to get married. Verse number 10. The nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for their nakedness is yours. And let's put it in our modern terms. We're talking about your grandkids, people. That is just way too wrong. So don't even think about it. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter. So your father's wife's daughter, born to your father, she is your sister, you shall not uncover her nakedness. So this is your stepsister. Not your half-sister, but your stepsister. Not appropriate. Verse number 12. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She's your father's blood relative. So this would be your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's blood relative. This is your maternal aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not uncover, shall not approach his wife. She's your aunt. So even your uncle's wife by marriage, if he passed away, she isn't on the list of women that you should be able to marry, because she is now considered part of your family. So this is the list that they're being given as to change the pool of available spouses, and also to warn against, sexual contact of any sort anyway. Because in many of these cases, for the Israelis, they would have very close proximity, very close extended family relationships. And so you might actually be in the physical presence of some of these relatives of yours, and feelings might come up. Well, you need to keep those feelings from being acted on, because it's not appropriate. Verse number 14, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. So your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law, because again, we can use either gender to understand this thing. Any in-law of yours, either going down, where it's your son or daughter's husband or wife, or sideways, your brother or your sister's husband or wife, off limits. Verse 17, you shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. So if you marry someone and she already has kids and then she dies, you don't go off and marry her daughter, because you're her stepdad now. And that's not appropriate. You shall not take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are blood relatives. It is lewdness. It is a form of adultery, that is cheating on God's design for marriage and sexual activity with inside marriage. Verse 18, this one actually applies to something from Israel's history. Every person in Israel reading this next verse actually has someone in their family tree that this is true about. Verse 18, you shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she is alive to uncover her nakedness. So Jacob ended up marrying Leah and Rachel. And that is not going to be allowed anymore. Now, he was actually married to them both at the same time, because in the culture that they were living in, that was allowed. But here it says, don't even do it in a sequential way. Verse number 19. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. Now, this gets back to our previous topic, and that is contact with the blood. Blood is symbolic of life and of redemption or atonement. And so it is to be kept in absolute respect and regard. And so when a woman is going through her menstrual cycle, the husband is supposed to completely stay out of the situation, because that is proper respect for the blood. Verse number 20, you shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. Do we really need to go on to that? I mean, you are not supposed to be having sexual relationships with another person's spouse. That's wrong. That's adultery. And that was actually one of the Ten Commandments that God had given them. You shall not commit adultery. Verse 21, you shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am He who is. Now, Molech, we talked about this back in the book of Genesis. Molech was the kind of slurred name for king. His other name of this deity, this false god, was Chemosh. And Chemosh meant destroyer. So Chemosh, Molech, destroyer king. This was the twisted understanding of the Moabites and the Ammonites regarding the god who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the Moabites and the Ammonites came into existence through an incestuous relationship, a drunken incestuous relationship, between Lot and his two daughters. And what grew out of that was this twisted religion that you needed to, from time to time, in honor of the destroyer king, get drunk, have sexual activities, and then take the baby that comes out of that sexual activity and burn them up in honor of the destroyer king, Chemosh Molech. And that was being practiced on the east side of the Dead Sea, where Ammon and Moab were located, but it was apparently spreading out through the Middle East, this ungodly practice of causing your children to pass through the fire. And it wasn't just the normal kids you got. This is a reference to a ceremony you went through in order to actually get pregnant on purpose, so that you could offer that human being, that baby, as a sacrifice to this destroyer king God. And so God, starting right here at the beginning of Israeli history, tells them, I don't want to see any of that garbage. It should not be going on. And it's interesting here that it says that you shall not profane the name of your God. I am He who is. Because, as I just told you, Chemosh Molech was a twisted identification of the God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he does not want this to happen. It will happen throughout Israeli history. We'll read later, if the Lord gives us the strength to get there, that one of the reasons they will be kicked out of the land is because of this practice becoming common amongst the Israelis. Verse number 22 has become controversial in our modern post-Christian time period, and it shouldn't be. And I'm going to just read it straight up and tell you why it should still be understood to be common teaching. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. Now, the word for abomination here means disgusting. It is something that makes you want to throw up. And so God considers homosexuality to be that. It is not what he intended. He designed the human body, and it's not that hard to figure this out by looking at the way that the anatomy is designed, for one man to fit together with one woman on a regular basis for their lifetime, for their pleasure. Even the brain chemistry is designed to gain from this monogamous heterosexual relationship. And homosexuality is a twisting of that. Now, you can talk about how homosexuality comes into existence. I'm going to tell you it is not, because it's part of the original gene code. There does seem to be some indication that it has crept in as a gene difficulty, not unlike certain other physical conditions, like pancreas is not properly producing insulin, or glasses being needed by people, or hearing aids being needed by people because of some sort of congenital problem. None of those things were intended by God, and yet they do come up into the gene pool because of the curse. And so there may be some problems in sexual attraction that's not appropriate that might be coming up because of gene problems. But the larger thing that I think is bad home situations. We know that the best way for people to grow up is with a loving father and a loving mother taking an active role in their lives. And when that does not happen, it causes distress. It causes problems with the person that's growing up. And so I want to speak honestly to some of you that may have a little problem here with same-sex attraction. You've got gender confusion, and I want you to understand, God did not want you to have to wrestle with that. He intended you to be a man who is attracted to women and vice versa. And the best thing I can advise to you is keep praying and keep dealing with it. Get advice from people who you trust to be good proponents of Scripture, and get past this thing, because it is an abomination to God. I know that comes off as being old-fashioned, but if you are listening to me for any time period at all, you know that I try to be true to the Scripture, because I am convinced that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God. And so I have to treat it as such and teach it as such. It is possible that at some point in our future history here in the United States, I will bear some sort of penalty for even reading Leviticus 18:22 out loud over the air. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. But if you are a Christian, if you claim God as your Lord and Savior, then you need to take verses like this at face value and live accordingly. We need to practice love to those who are struggling with such things, but it needs to be a tough love that affirms God's design and doesn't back off of it. Verse number 23. I'm going to predict to you that eventually this will become a problem. That there will be excuses made for this as there are excuses made for the previous verse. I know for a fact that it is already growing in, I don't know if I want to use the word popularity, but acceptability in certain circles on the internet. Verse 23, also you shall not have intercourse with an animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. God designed humans to have sex with humans and animals to have sex with the animals of its own kind. Anything that strays outside of those boundaries is inappropriate. It is, I think the word in Hebrew literally means confusion. It's screwing everything up. It's getting everything out of balance. Just because it can be done physically doesn't mean it should be done. God's design is God's design, and we need to live by that design. Sometimes I'll use this illustration. We are smart enough to understand that if we do not follow the manufacturer's instructions for our automobiles and our computers and other manufactured devices, that it will void the warranty. And that if we go back to the manufacturer and say, this thing doesn't work properly, and they find out that we did not follow the instructions, they will tell us we're not replacing it because you didn't use it the way I intended it to be used. So we're smart enough to figure that out. We ought to be smart enough to figure that that's the case with God as well. He designed things to be used in a very specific fashion. And if we do other than that, then we should expect to be in trouble with the manufacturer. That is, God the designer. Verse number 24. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these things the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled, for the land has become defiled. Therefore, I have brought its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. So we have seen this before, and we will see it again, that God is going to give the promised land, Canaan, to the Israelis because the current occupants there have come to the terminal point in their sinful activity. They have crossed the line to such an extent that God says, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I want you out of my property. You might remember that God told Abraham that the abomination of the Amorites was not yet full, but it would be within about 400 to 500 years later. So the Canaanites have been engaging in this sort of activity we've been talking about in chapter number 18, the sinful sexual activity. And God tells the Israelis, I don't want you doing the same thing. I'm kicking them out and moving you in, and you better not do the same thing or I'll kick you out too. Verse 26, as for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments and so not do any, shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations, and the land has become defiled. So the land will not spew you out, should you defile it, as it has been spewed out the nations which have been before you. For whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. So God is warning them very clearly here. I'm kicking the Canaanites out because of what they've been doing, these specific things. I'm going to move you in. If you do these things, you're out of here too. And we know historically that's exactly what happened. They started engaging in all of these things, including the homosexuality and the bestiality. Verse 30, thus you are to keep my charge, that you do not practice any of the abominable customs which have been practiced before you, so as not to defile yourselves with them. I am he who is your God. Chapter number 19. He who is spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, he who is your God, am holy. So we've seen this before. The word holy is kind of a fancy church sort of word, but it basically means dedicated to a specific purpose. And in this case, the specific purpose is being godlike. So God is God, and he expects us to be like him in his characteristics. Holy. Verse 3. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and shall keep my Sabbaths. I am he who is your God. So now he goes back to some of the Ten Commandments. You're supposed to show respect to your parents. You're supposed to take that day off and make sure everybody else gets their day off. Verse 4. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves molten gods. I am he who is your God. Again, another one of the Ten Commandments. Don't be making idols and worshiping other gods and goddesses. Now, when you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to he who is, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it and the next day, but what remains until the third day shall be burned with fire. So this is the idea. You voluntarily give a sacrifice, and you're planning on eating some of this with your friends and family. You can eat it the day after the sacrifice, but the third day, it's got to be getting rid of. Leftovers only last so long. So if it is eaten at all on the third day, it's an offense. It will not be accepted. Everyone who eats it will bear his iniquity, for he's profaned the holy things of he who is, and that person shall be cut off from his people. So some of this might have been for the protection of their health, but it is also learning how to follow instructions.